down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've jumped on board. You've decided to join in the dialogue and the discussion today. We're talking about a subject that in many areas would be a sensitive subject. Many cultures today will not discuss this. Many churches today refuse to touch on it. Most pastors will not speak on it. We're talking about anti-Semitism and how should Christians respond. So if you're listening today, I'd love to hear from you. How should we respond as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, as churches today? How should we respond to what we see that is very prevalent, very prominent, and very in your face in America, in Europe, in Israel, and yes, around the globe? It's anti-Semitism, the hatred for the Jewish people, the rejection and the resentment to the Jewish people. Ladies and gentlemen, anti-Semitism and the question how should Christians respond ought to be a major, major, major interest on the part of each listener today. That's my question. How should we respond? What should we do? We need to do one simple thing. Search the Scripture. And as we search the Scripture, we very quickly find the hatred for the Jewish people. Not new today. It's not something that's just happening today. But only a renewal of the same demonic deception that was taking place in the Scripture. Think of the book of Esther. Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, I want us to bound this about for a moment. In the book of Esther, now there are many places we could go to, as we talked about earlier with Moses, with the midwives, and with the order from the political leadership, every baby boy that's born, put him to death. That was the first instance I find in the Scripture of Jew hate, of anti-Semitism. But one of the favorite texts of mine is found in Esther, the 6th, 7th, and 8th chapters in particular. We find two characters there. We find Mordecai and Haman. Dr. Felton, speak to that. Who was Mordecai? Who was Haman? And how does that fit into our subject today? And then Dr. Davis, as we bound that about and talk about it, how do we see the hand of God playing in that text in relationship to Mordecai and Haman? Dr. Davis, Dr. Phelps, go ahead.
One of the things I learned from reading the book of Esther was that these people who were former captives from Israel, the Jewish people, had been taken captive, and now they were under a new regime, another leadership. Mm-hmm. After a few years, they were in rather in good hands, actually, because the king and those about him showed favor toward the Jews. And many of them decided they would just settle down. They liked it where they lived. And as far as we know, many of these Jewish people who had once been captives, prisoners of war, then had become good citizens in in the land. So in Persia, there was a man of the name of Haman that, as I have discovered, was a descendant of the Amalekites.
That's right.
One of the enemies of Israel. And he somehow he had a hatred for Mordecai. And one of the main reasons was because Mordecai wouldn't bow his head and his knees in submission to this man.
Right.
He was no king, and he did not deserve to be honored that way. And so he conspired, he plotted to have Mordecai hanged upon a gallows, and also to have the whole nation, or the whole lot of the people of Israel, destroyed. And God caused that plot to fail. And this man, Haman, was hanged upon his own gallows.
Absolutely. One of the things, I'll touch on this and then toss it over to Dr. Davis. You see, Mordecai was a Jew. Haman hated the Jewish people. He hated the symbolism of the Jewish people. And as a result of that, he tricked the king into signing a decree that would allow on a certain day at a certain time at a certain place that all Jews be put to death. And so the king, when he discovered the plot, when he discovered the rationale behind it, he said, I can't change the law of the Medes and the Persians will not allow me to modify a law, but I can pass a new law. And he passed a new law, a new edict, that was sent out to 128 provinces, according to Scripture. And I don't know, they probably sent it on donkey back, horseback, etc. They didn't have telephone, telegraph, or telewoman in that day. And so they sent it out in that fashion. And the king said, when they come to kill you, rise up and protect yourself and kill them. That, by the way, I use as a good example of the right of self-defense that was there. But the whole point is, there was an attempt to wipe out the Jewish people as a nation. And I go back, Dr. Davis, before we toss it over to you, and Genesis, the 12th chapter. Now the Lord God said unto Abram, to get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Then in verse 3, the scripture says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's a pretty powerful statement. That's God's covenant with Abraham. And that covenant has not been abridged. That covenant has not been abrogated. That covenant has not been modified or eradicated or changed. It's still real and relevant today. Now speak to that, Dr. Davis, of how we should view that. Do we view the Jewish people as enemies, or do we view them as God's apple of God's eye, as the scripture calls it? And how should Christians respond to what we see today with no less than Jew hate?
Well, if we truly love God and have a full understanding of his word, we ought to hold the Jews in high regard, because it's because of them that we are receiving the blessings of Abraham even today. And it's because of them, Dr. Youngblood, that you and I, Dr. Phelps, and anyone else who chooses to, has a copy of God's word. You Amen. Know, I mean, that's precious to me, yes. To be able to have a copy,
that's right,
of God's word. If it was not for us having access to copies of the word of God, we would not even know who God is. Mm-hmm. We would not know anything about the gospel. We would not know anything about God's plan of salvation for all mankind.
Right.
It's because of the Jews that we are so greatly right now. We should be grateful, but we are greatly blessed on today. So now if we have a full understanding of that, let's make sure that we appreciate them and stand behind them for who they are. Because here's a portion of scripture that I wanted to read today from the book of Isaiah that I found in Isaiah chapter 14 to back up what I wanted to say. Isaiah 14 and 1. Mm-hmm. Here's what God had to say. He said, for the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel. Now we're in the book of Isaiah, and all the things that Israel had already gone through up until this point in time, God said, I will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them. I believe that covers us. We're strangers to the covenants of promise, right, according to the scripture. So then he said, strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. That's all I need to know. I don't have any better sense than to just believe God is a keeper and a fulfiller of all his promises. So when we see this, how he has promised to yet choose Israel, what makes us think today, according to the teaching in some of the churches, that the church is spiritual Israel? I don't get that.
Good point.
God has not displaced Israel. He's right. Not cast them aside. Of course, yeah, when we go to the book of Galatians, and it teaches us that we were grafted in, but he temporarily set them aside. But he's got a time that he's going to deal with them again, coming up in the future. But right now is the what's called the time of the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. It's your time and my time to realize what the plan of salvation is all about, what the word of God means for us, and to come on into the plan of God's plan of salvation while we yet have a chance.
Absolutely.
Because there's going to be a day and time when he's not going to deal with us anymore. He's going back to Israel, because here we're seeing he said that he will yet choose Israel and then set them in their own land.
Absolutely. And that brings Amen. To mind what you find in Genesis, the 13th chapter, beginning with about verse 15. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever.
Amen.
That's a pretty good statement.
That's the title
deed. So the question is, how long is forever? And as I say in the classroom, it's forever.
Amen.
Unending. It is forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then thy seed shall also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, the length of it and in the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. Now that's a promise that God made to Abraham, and that promise has not been abrogated, abridged, changed, nullified in any fashion. It's still real today, and I believe that we need to recognize that. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. What say you? What are your thoughts in relationship to what we see today, anti-Semitism? What should be done? Let's just bring it down to a very, very clear challenge. What should President Trump do with universities like Harvard and Columbia and other universities where they're allowing the anti-Semitic rhetoric to boil to the top, where there is a desire to kill Jewish people, just as the young lady, the young man, which I understand was engaged to be married, walked out of the door of the Jewish Museum in D.C. and was summarily assassinated on the streets because one felt that somehow, some way, he needed to be the one to start killing the Jews. Hitler had that same mindset. Hitler had that same approach, that somehow, some way, you could kill the Jews and you'll have a pure race of people, was Hitler's mindset. And the mindset is today, we need to destroy the Jewish people. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is very, very clear. In Psalms 122 and verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. And it's our responsibility as Christians to recognize the hand of God and to pray for the Jewish people. I'm looking at a headline article. Why have Jews been targets of oppression for so long? And this writer says, simply look to the Bible for the answer.
Amen.
And
it's
that's
there.
The answer.
Amen.
Very
if we consider, Dr. Youngblood, over into the book of Matthew at the birth of Jesus, mm-hmm. look at what they did. They sent out to kill all the babies.
That's right.
It was about 3 years old and under.
That was the epitome of anti-Semitism.
Amen. So you see, it's still alive. And when we consider this today, now, let's make sure you understand, if they hate the Jews, they hate the Christians. Mm-hmm. So that means we better be aware. It's about high time for us to wake up and smell the coffee.
That's right.
That if they got the pot boiling against the Jews, it's also on fire. It's boiling against the Christians as well.
And the anti-Semitic rhetoric that's taking place, that the mindset is by the Islamic jihadist that Israel is Satan and America is the great Satan. And the mindset is to destroy Israel, the Jewish people, and destroy the nation of America, USA, America, because we stand with Israel. And that's the way it ought to be. I'm looking at a headline that says, hatred, enemies of the Jews. Hatred toward the Jewish people is a recurring theme throughout all of the Bible, manifesting in various forms and through numerous adversaries. This enmity is often depicted as both spiritual and physical opposition to God's chosen people, Israel. The Bible provides numerous accounts of nations and individuals who harbored animosity toward the Jews, often resulting in conflict, persecution, and attempts to thwart God's plan for his people. And that's exactly what we see, Dr. Phelps, is the attempt to thwart God's plan for the world, and especially the apple of God's eye, the Jewish people. We see that, for example, the Egyptians, the Amalekites, the Babylonians, and you go down through history and find the whole mindset was to crush the Israeli people, the Jewish people. It was in May 15, 1948, that Israel became, the Jewish people had a homeland, their own nation called Israel. And from around the globe where they had been and diaspora scattered around the globe, they came back to Israel, the Jewish people's homeland. And since the day that they came back into their own homeland, there's been the animosity and the anger and the hostility and the resentment and the rejection to destroy the Jewish people. So, Dr. Phelps, as we see that as a theme throughout Scripture, as we see that as a replay over and over and over, should we be surprised today that we see the animosity and the hatred for the Jewish people that is showing itself and with the placards being held up, with the demonstration and the marches, not only in the universities in America, but also in the streets of America and in Europe and around the globe? As we see that, how should we respond? How does it relate to Scripture? And what say you?
We may believe for sure that the time of the end of this era is coming to very, very close. Very close to the time. We believe that Jesus taught that in the end times, that God would tell us, and he did so in the book of Matthew chapter 24, that Jewish people would be hated of all nations. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that in America. And I'm so sorry to see that, because one of the things I've learned is that every nation that has hated Israel and done respite to them or brought evil upon them have perished. Mm-hmm. That means that the destruction of America could surely come if all Americans then entered into this hatred or this animosity toward Israel.
Amen.
That's right. You need to be very careful, as you said.
I don't want that to happen. I want to pray for Israel. I want to pray for America, that God would open the eyes of our leaders, that God would grant that we can see a change, that our Congress, that our people in Congress, in the Senate and the House, would move to bring about some changes in America regarding this. I have not yet understood why these people who hate Israel are allowed to come to our universities to study. I've not understood why we have professors in these universities that sympathize with the jihadists. There should be something done about that. We need to pray for our leaders and for those in our universities. Pray that God would open their eyes to know the truth. They need to look at the Scriptures and understand that Israel is the apple of God's eye.
Absolutely. Well said. And one of the things, Dr. Phelps, you asked the question, prompted a thought in my mind. The Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, has now taken the stand of withdrawing the visas for several hundred thousand students in America coming from nations that hate America, that want to destroy the Jewish people. And in fact, they have discovered that out of all of the students coming in with visas, for example, from China, they are spies for the Communist Chinese Party. And as a result of that, Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, says, we're going to stop that. There's no point in having students here. In fact, that's one of the reasons Harvard University has now filed suit against President Trump and his movement to try to protect America. Just as you said, we need to recognize the danger that looms. In fact, it causes me to go back to Zechariah the 12th chapter, verse 2 and following. Behold, God speaking, behold, I like that word, look intently and see. I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem in that day. And when you see in the scripture, ladies and gentlemen, in that day and the day of the Lord is speaking of the last days in which we're living now. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing God's word leaping off the pages in modern times. When we talk about anti-Semitism, the best term is simply Jew hate. The hatred for the apple of God's eye, the Jewish people. The hatred for the enemies of God. The hatred as a result of the enemies of God. It is coming forth as the Satan and the demons, and Satan and all of his warriors are wanting to tear down and destroy. I'm looking at an article that talks about that. It talks about the Egyptian and its oppression, the Amalekites and other nations. And it says, the Amalekites are another notable enemy of the Jews, known for their unprovoked attack of the Jewish Israeli people shortly after Exodus. In Exodus 17:16, the Lord declares, the Lord will be at war with Amalekites from generation to generation. The perpetual enemy and enmity underscores the spiritual dimension of the conflict, and Amalekite becomes a symbol of opposition to God's purpose. Here's the point. Throughout all of the Old Testament, the various nations, including the Philistines, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Assyrians, exhibit hostility toward the Jewish people. So we've seen that throughout the biblical history. We recognize that today. So what am I saying? The modus operandi of Satan and all of his demons is to destroy the apple of God's eye, the Jewish people. And when you look at, and I mentioned it earlier, when you look at Revelation, the 12th chapter, you find that Satan hates Israel, wants to destroy the Jewish people, because it's out of Israel that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, came into this world to seek and to save that which is lost.
Well,
it is Satan's approach to tear down and destroy.
Dr. Youngblood, if it's true, and I think it is because we've researched it many times, that the world is 6,000 years or better old. If the world has been in existence mm-hmm. for 6,000 years, I'll start with that number. That's telling me God is 6,000 and old. He's never been defeated.
That's right.
So now, again, we got his track record right here in the scriptures, and I'm reading still from Isaiah chapter 14. Here's what he said starting at verse 22, the judgment against Babylon. He said, for I will rise up against them, talking about Babylon, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. That's what he said about Babylon. Now skip down for the sake of time. The judgment against Assyria. You said all of this.
Yes.
You call all your names out. But here's what verse 24 says, Isaiah 14, 24. For the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. God is 6,000 and old. I like a champion like that.
That's right.
I'm on his side.
He's batting 100, if you please.
Amen.
Let me say this, and then we'll wrap up. I'm looking at an article that I have appreciated, the similitude of what we're talking about and what is said here. In the New Testament, the theme of enmity continues. with the Jewish people facing opposition from various quarters, including the Roman authorities and certain religious leaders. Jesus himself, a Jew, encounters hostility, culminating in his crucifixion, and it's reflected in the animosity against him. John 15:25, it reflects this. But this is the fulfillment of what is written in the law. They hated me without reason. That's exactly what we see today, Dr. Phelps, is hating the Jews without reason. Listen, you could talk, I believe you could line up 1,000 people on the street and ask those that are waving the signs, wanting to destroy the Jews, why is it you hate the Jewish people? What is the modus operandi? What is behind that? What is the rationale? And most could not answer the question. They just have a mantra, they're following the mantra, and I believe it's a demonic deception.
Amen.
In their hearts.
Amen.
Not realizing that they're wanting to destroy the apple of God's eye. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that will not happen. God has promised to protect the Jewish people, and the nation of Israel is under the thumb, under the hand, and the palm of God's hand. When you look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, where you see the war with Russia and the Russian with the five enemies of Israel coming against Israel, God's word says, he talks about it as being my land and my people. And it's coming against God, trying to defy God. And this writer wraps up with this. From the theological perspective, the hatred toward the Jews is often understood as part of a broader spiritual warfare. Satan's opposition to God's redemptive plan frequently manifests itself in attempts to destroy or assimilate the Jewish people, who are central to the unfolding of biblical prophecy and the coming of the Messiah. I couldn't have wrapped it up any better than that statement.
Amen.
Dr. Phelps, you have a final thought?
One of the things I would like to say in conclusion here is that Christians should have a better response to this situation.
Amen.
And we find that the scriptures tell us, beloved, let us love one another. We need to love the Jewish people because they've given us the scripture.
Amen.
And they've given us the Savior.
Amen.
We need to love them because God is love.
Amen.
Hatred is not a part of the behavior of the real Christian. So we need to then to modify our thinking according to the scriptures and allow God to be in control of our behavior. We need to love God's people, Israel.
Absolutely. Need to embrace them, love them, and be thankful that it's through the Jewish people that we have Jesus Christ. He's a Jew. He's our Savior. He is Yeshua, Messiah, and he is the one to come. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the air today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood